Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
The scripture lesson this evening comes from Matthew chapter 18, verses 6 through 9. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were fastened around your neck and you were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of stumbling blocks. Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to the one by whom the stumbling block comes. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or lame than to have two hands or two feet and to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into the hell of fire. Heaven help us, this is the word of the Lord. Who out there are cat people? Okay, that's a quorum. So, cat people, when your cat has a point it wants to make, you know how it goes out of its way to be in the way, right? So the other day, I had to pick our cat up from somewhere she didn't need to be. And I knew why she was where she didn't need to be. She was there because of whatever point she needed to make. She doesn't like it when we don't do things on time. I don't think this was even a feeding situation. This was something else. But she had been somewhere inconvenient, and I picked her up, and she's kind of a rag doll. So I can pick her up and just kind of toss her on a shoulder and then continue with what I was doing. So I pick her up. She sort of yowls at me. And I put her on my shoulder, and she immediately starts purring. Because I've apparently done the thing she wanted me to do, which was to go out of my way to let her be in the way. I think, perhaps, the kingdom of heaven is something like a cat. I think there's something about the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus describes it for us this evening, that the kingdom of heaven is better, is more accessible to us, is more available to us when we go out of our way to do something for it. So traditionally, the season of Lent is a season of fasting and self-denial. I want to talk a little bit about that this evening because I think it would help us to sort of illuminate what Jesus is getting at in this really weird passage that we just read here about if something is a stumbling block for you or for someone else, right? If something is a stumbling block for you or for someone else, cut it off and throw it away, right? That's rather dramatic language. It's the kind of dramatic language that maybe makes sense on a night when we invite everyone in the congregation to come forward so that we can tell them they are mortal. It's big language, though, when we talk about what is it that stands in the way between us and the kingdom of heaven. So I want to talk about what we affirm when we deny something in the name of the kingdom of heaven. When people reaffirm their baptisms, either to join the church or to become officers in the church or for some other event, I always go through the old language about renunciations. Do you turn away from evil and toward Jesus Christ? I think that turning is an important move for us. I also fast sometimes on especially Ash Wednesday or Good Friday, depending on sort of how that fits my spiritual health at the time. I'm not going to stand here and tell you there's only one way to do this spiritual life and this particular spiritual season. But I think those renunciations and that fasting and that sharp language about what we need to remove from our lives and even ourselves in the name of the kingdom of heaven. I think that's all inviting us to turn away from the normal habits that we carry through life, the normal habits of, for instance, if one is fasting, the willpower that it takes, it's not an exercise in willpower, but you notice the willpower that it takes, not to just immediately reach out and fulfill whatever need you think you might be having at that moment because there happens to be something to eat right in front of you. But instead, if we pause there, right, and we wait to fulfill that whatever immediate impulse it is, sometimes it allows us to notice what we are or may not be actually hungry for. And I prefer the language of fasting to this the language of giving something up. I think giving something up for Lent is a little too easy to turn into like a self-improvement project or some kind of spiritual brownie points. I do want to give a little sidebar here that there are some folks who take the opportunity during Lent to give something up because they know that their relationship with that thing is deeply unhealthy. I want to say if you're in that place right now where giving something up for Lent feels like getting rid of an addiction, I want to give a very, very measured piece of encouragement about that. I want to say talk to your physician because moving into giving up a really deeply unhealthy relationship, either with a substance or a person or a who knows what else, right? That kind of shift, that takes more support than I can offer to you in the next 6 minutes on an Ash Wednesday evening. And so I invite you to enlist some additional help there, but I do want to also offer, I would be honored to help you enlist that additional help. And I also want you to know that if you're at that place and you need to make that appointment, making that appointment is an act of renunciation all by itself. Making that appointment is the step you need to take. Now, that was a little sidebar, because most of the time, here's why I prefer the language of fasting to giving something up. When I fast, I'm not giving something up that I have an unhealthy relationship with. I'm giving something up that is actually fundamentally good and life-giving. And really, when you hear Jesus talk about cutting your hands off and your feet and you're plucking your eyes out, I think we should remember that Jesus is fundamentally pro-eye and pro-feet. Jesus is challenging us with language about something that should be sort of contrary to how we would imagine going through the world. Jesus is a really hard guy to learn from because that hyperbole just keeps going there. The issue is not the appendage or the sensory organ. The issue is not the food. The issue is the place that it might take. When he talks about these stumbling blocks, these ways that we can ensnare ourselves in what we have had and what we have been used to and the way that we have gone through the world, that's what he invites us to let go of. So I'm going to come back to the hyperbole in just a minute here, but I want to just reinforce that idea that fasting, whether fasting from having the prescribed number of appendages, or fasting from food for a day, or fasting from whatever other habit you may be stepping away from during a Lenten season or some other time, stepping away from a specific way of filling our hunger gives us time to notice what the thing is that we are hungry for. It gives us time to notice whether what we're hungry for is a blessing or a stumbling block. And I have to recognize how difficult it can be to let go of something that is good and a blessing from God that has then become a stumbling block for us. I want to offer compassion around that invitation. The things that we need or the things that we don't need anymore but have taken for granted until it's time to let go of them, they're hard to let go of because they genuinely met a need for us. And they may still meet a need that we're just ready to meet in some other way now. So I want to give you good news in two parts. The first piece of good news is that we are invited to let go of whatever it is stands between us and the kingdom of heaven. We're invited to let go of that for a reason, because this is all about living into the kingdom of heaven. It's also a cross, of course. We drew crosses on your foreheads because we know that the cross is a necessary waypoint along the way to the kingdom of heaven. But it's not the destination. It's not where we stop. We're moving toward the resurrection. We're moving toward that ultimate expression of God with us, which is what God has always been doing all along. The destination is the kingdom of heaven. We let go of where we have been in order to reframe our vision of what might belong in the kingdom of heaven. And what we live into when we affirm the kingdom of heaven is those communities of hope and promise like this one that can make the promises of God credible to us and to others. We live into the grace that allows us to include those who otherwise wouldn't fit because of their identity or their heritage or their personal history. We live into the courage to reconcile with each other across disagreements, sins, and pain. We live into the confidence that we can lay our lives down for the sake of the world, trusting that God always gives us new life. That brings us to the second piece of good news. The second piece of good news that is pointed to with all of that crazy hyperbole, the command that Jesus gives us in those stark, frightening terms, that command is also a promise. The promise is that what we are invited to let go of, we can let go of. We can let go of it, and it will be enough. No matter how desperately we may have thought we needed to hang on to that, we can let it go for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. So maybe we can think about Ash Wednesday like the shakedown camp out before the great big backpacking trip. It's a time to sit down and see what we have and see who we are and set aside what we recognize now that we don't really need. Lent is an invitation to let go of whatever we can't imagine letting go of, because as we let go, we open ourselves to move into what God is doing now. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.